Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Oh, wait a second. They only did two songs. We're going to do a bunch more, so hang on. Hallelujah. We're just changing up the order a little bit. Say, why is that? Because every now and then we like to do something just a little bit different. Hallelujah. Man, you're a good-looking bunch today. We welcome you. If this is your first time here at New Life Church, we are so glad that you're here. We also welcome everybody that's joining us online today. We are glad for you today, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And today I'm not going to take a whole lot of your time, but I'm going to talk about something that is extremely important. And it's something that we cannot afford to either, number one, trivialize, or number two, take for granted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is something that we need to pay attention to. And so I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, Matthew 28, 1 through 6. I'm going to read this, and this is the story of moments after Jesus rose from the dead. And the Bible says this: "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door." Now, let me just stop there for a minute, because there's an interesting thing. If you look that up, that phrase, "rolled back the stone," it literally means he threw it. This is amazing to me, because God doesn't, you know, when God shows up and brings victory, God doesn't just show up and kind of say, "Okay, here I am, this is going to be, I don't want to make any waves." No, he shows up and goes, "Get out of my way." And that stone rolled. See, the very thing that would hold you back, the very thing that would prevent you from embracing your Savior, God gets out of the way. Can you say amen? And the Bible says this: "And then he sat on it." I love that. I love that. I just love the confidence and I don't want to say arrogance, because I don't want to attribute that to God, but just the confidence that he had to sit on the very thing that would hold us back. That's our God. Can you say amen? And then it says, "His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen.'" Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to think about this. What I want you to do is, if you can, use your imagination for a little bit and maybe place yourself into that moment. Just place yourself there. What an awesome moment that had to be. Can you say amen? Amen. See, Mary and those that were with her were going to care for the body of Jesus, because they were compelled to honor him. They wanted to honor him in the manner that was due him, but also in the manner that their culture required. See, when Jesus was with them, he had done so much for them. Can you say amen? Amen. He healed them. He delivered them, he forgave them, and he had the words of life for them. But on this day, on this particular day, moments before they get to the tomb, I imagine they were filled with sadness. I imagine that they were probably dealing with some confusion as they made their way to the tomb. Just imagine, if you will, just imagine, here's Jesus. For 3.5 years, they spent their life with him, listening to his words, listening to the promises, listening to all that's going on. He's changing everything. And he says, "Look at this, this is all going to be brand new. And I want you to know that I'm the Savior of the world." They're hearing this. They're seeing this. He's demonstrating to them his power and his glory on a regular basis. But now he's been crucified. It seems like the enemy won. I mean, he's been buried. He's not only was he crucified horribly, and it was just a moment. The Bible says in Isaiah, I believe it's in 52, it says that his visage was changed so much, he no longer looked human. I mean, you couldn't even recognize his person. This is how brutal the crucifixion was. They've buried him, and now they're going to care for him. And I am sure as they made their way to the tomb, there were more unanswered questions than they had answers for. Can you say amen? I imagine fear and doubt is clawing on the inside of them. What now? What now? But just as they reached the tomb, the earth began to shake. Oh, thank God. The earth began to shake, and an angel appeared. The stone is thrown away, and they look in, and Jesus is gone because he has risen. Everything he said in that moment, everything he said up to that moment, right then came to pass. Every bit of it. Every promise, every declaration, every prediction, everything that he ever said came true at that moment. It was sealed, it was fulfilled, and done. Can you say amen? Amen. And the angel looks at them and said, he's not here, he's risen. We need that. We need to hear that over and over and over again. And the reason why is because just when it seems hopeless, when it seems like there's no way, when it seems like it's done and over with, no matter what circumstances you are dealing with, God changes everything. Because at that moment, all was lost. At that moment, all was gone. There was no hope. But in one moment of time, as they looked in and Jesus rose from the dead, all that was lost was found. All that was broken was repaired. All that died can live again, because that is how God operates. Can you say amen? Just when we think there is no hope, God steps in. Time and time and time again. Do you remember the story of Lazarus? I love the story of Lazarus because it's a picture of resurrection power. You remember? Lazarus got sick. Mary and Martha, his sisters, they were quite worried about him. So they sent word to Jesus. They said, please come quickly, the one you love. So we know that Jesus had relationship with him. The one that you love, he's sick, he's almost dying, he's at the point of death. Please come and do something about this. But Jesus seems to be unmoved. Jesus was unflappable, isn't he? He's like, hey, I got this, don't worry about it. I was watching a movie last night. I forget what the title of the movie is, but there was a guy. He's on trial for his life, and it's possible that he could get the death penalty. And his lawyer, as they're in the courtroom, looks over at him and says, I don't know, man, you could get the death penalty. And he goes, okay. And the lawyer says, aren't you worried? He goes, would it help? I love that. I just love that because you know what? I don't know how many hours, days, weeks, months, years I've spent worrying to no avail. It did nothing. And this is the picture of Jesus with Lazarus. He knows Lazarus is sick. He knows it's nigh unto death. They come to him and they say, hey, Jesus, you got to do something. But Jesus says, hang on, we're going to stay here a couple days. I don't necessarily like that because I like Jesus showing up when I want Jesus to show up. But Jesus says, when I get there, I always show up with resurrection power. And when he did come, Mary and Martha met him and said, if you would have been here sooner, if you would have just gotten here sooner, everything would have been okay. But he says, you have forgotten who I am. You have forgotten I am the resurrection and the life. And though he die, he will live. And that is something that on this day, we need to remind ourselves. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We should never, ever forget that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Here's the thing that we must understand. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what they look like, no matter what is the report that you have received, here's the thing. God is not done. God is not done. I don't care what happened to your neighbors. I don't care what happened to the church down the road. I don't care what happened to the Christians in some other place. God is not done. We don't go by what we see. We go by what we know. We know that His word is true, and we stand upon His word, and God is not done. He is the resurrection and the life, and that's who I serve. Can you say amen? Listen, church, it's never too late. Because of the resurrection, listen, every sin has been washed away. Every failure has been made new. Every mistake has been removed. Every hurt, every pain, every torment has been overcome. All your hopes and dreams can live again. I'll be honest with you. I'm not the Ancient of Days, but I'm getting older, and I am a lot more aware of my age than I've ever been in my life. And the truth is, there's more behind me than there is in front of me. I used to, when I was in my 40s, I always used to say, I'm going to make it to 90, because when I was 45, I didn't want to be over halfway. Well, now that I'm almost 58, I'm going to have to be 116 in order not to be halfway. And that's okay if God wants to do that. But the reality is, there's times in my life when I sit back and I'm aware of my age and I'm aware of what's ahead of me. And I think, dear God, is it over? And God says, it's never over. As long as you draw breath in your life, there is hope, because I am the resurrection and the life. Can you say amen? We are here today because He died and rose again. No other religion has a resurrection. None. It is the crowning miracle of God. And there is no question in my mind this morning, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the standard of power in the New Testament. Amen. I'm going to say that again if you're taking notes. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the standard of power in the New Testament. Amen. Now listen to me this morning. If you celebrate the resurrection only once a year, you're missing out. Because you and I can live and walk in resurrection power every day. Every day. You and I, in fact, are meant to live and operate in resurrection power every day. I want you to listen to some Bible passages very quickly, because I want to show you this is exactly what the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of His power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in places of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, did you catch that this morning? Paul's prayer is that we would understand resurrection power. And that understanding is not just having a mental assent, but it literally means that we experience in daily life resurrection power. Every day, resurrection power at work in our lives. Paul goes on in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, he takes this a little bit further. And he says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. According. He says, I'm going to do more than you can imagine. How many can imagine some pretty big things? He says that, your imagination is not qualified to define what I will do. That's what he's saying. That's a pretty powerful thing. And he goes, and that is according to the power that's at work in us. That's what it says. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Listen to these words this morning. By His mighty power at work within us, we are able to accomplish infinitely more than we ever dare to ask or hope. See, church, we live in a world that is filled with words, but have very little power. This is the thing that really probably works on me a lot. I'll be honest with you. I have not yet attained to the level that I believe that God wants us to go. I'm a work in progress. But here's the thing. There are churches and programs and self-help groups all proclaiming they have the answer. And multitudes flock to these places with little to no change. Why? No power. And what ends up happening to the church is we become a referral service. Go see this one or that one or this counselor or that doctor or this program or go to this place or there. Church, we were meant to rise up in resurrection power and change what is going on around us. We were never meant to be thermometers. We were meant to be thermostats. We were never meant to react to our surroundings. We were meant to change them. That power, that resurrection power that rose Christ from the dead is in you. It's in you right now. Amen. We're just not sure yet, are we? Well, I'm going to show you some more verses just so we can be sure. The Bible says in 2 Timothy that many have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. This is the thing that frustrates me, church, because God came. Jesus' final words, we often say the last words of any person dying are the words that we should pay attention to. Just before Jesus ascends into heaven, these are his last words to his disciples. Wait until Jerusalem until you are endued with power. That is what he told his disciples. Don't go do what I told you. Not yet. You wait until you're empowered. God, help us if we do anything in this life with no power. Can you say amen? And it is not power that we muster through human willpower. It is power that comes upon us and in us through the grace of salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in our hearts by his Spirit. And He is the author of resurrection power, and he is in us, and he has invested himself in us, and we should walk in that power every day. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." In other words, talk's cheap. We need power. Can you say amen? 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes." And in Romans 1:16 he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." This is what the world is looking for, church. This is what you and I are looking for. A supernatural power that will change the unchangeable. Heal the incurable. Love the unlovable. We are looking for a supernatural God with a supernatural power to take on our impossible situations. Why? Because there is no therapy. There is no prescription. There is no program that will fix our present problems. Only the power of God will make a lasting difference. Can you say amen? It's the power of the resurrection. J.B. Phillips said this a long time ago. He said, "The trouble with most people today is that they have not found a God big enough for their modern problems." Listen to me today. God's not limited. Are you hearing me? Amen. He's eternal. He's infinite. He's almighty. And what we need today is we need to get a new picture of God. We need to see him as he really is, the God who raises the dead, who heals the sick, who delivers the captive. We need the one who walks in resurrection power. And he is the one that invests that same power in the people who believe on his name. Are you hearing me? Years ago, Leonard Ravenhill said these words, "The world is not waiting for a new definition of the gospel, but a new demonstration of the power of the gospel." Amen. I'm going to say something a little bit provocative this morning, and that is this. We owe the world an encounter with a living God who provides resurrection power. See, we don't have to live powerless, weak lives. We don't have to be wounded and out of control. The power that is at work in you right now is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. See, the problem is, church, most Christians stop at the cross and they don't take full advantage of all that Jesus provided. I've told you many times that salvation is like a great mansion filled with many rooms that is filled with great treasure, unspeakable treasure. And the Bible says that Jesus, you can look it up, John chapter 10, he is the door. He's the door of the sheepfold. But the problem is, church, we're content at living in the doorway. He has invited us into his realm. And he says, come in and enjoy all that I've paid for. Enjoy all that I've given. I will empower you to enjoy it. I will empower you to share it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come. Because here's the thing, here's the point. You could start today. On this resurrection day, you can make a decision to walk in resurrection power every day. Say, how? How do I do that? Well, first, it's very easy. It's even going to sound very simplistic, but please listen. You got to believe it. You have to believe it. We activate this power that's already, see, the power's already in you. If you gave your life to Jesus, the Bible says he has taken up residence in your life. He lives in you. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit didn't go in. He didn't go in and say, hey, I don't want to freak them out, so I'm going to leave all my power outside and just I'll go in. I'll just kind of be a neutral, I'll just kind of be a little Casper the Ghost floating around. That's not what he did. He came in that the fullness of the Godhead would be in us. That's how he says it, the fullness of the Godhead. And he comes in with all his power. But church, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to move unless we believe it. Can we believe in him and not believe in his power? Yes, we can embrace him, but not in his power. Many do it every day. That's a whole nother sermon, and I'll preach it another day. But we have to embrace the truth. You know, at church, sometimes it's going to feel a little phony. You're going to think I'm crazy, and that's okay. I'm getting used to it. Me and Pat will be crazy for Jesus, right, Pat? Sometimes what you need to do is look in the mirror and go, I have resurrection power living in me. You need to look in the mirror and say, you know what? Through Jesus, I'm the answer to the world. I will be the vessel. I will be the conduit. I will be the pathway through which our God in heaven moves upon this earth. Wherever I go, I take him. When you go to Safeway, you take him with you. When you go to JB's, there's a restaurant out of the past. How about let's get in the present, John? How about Cracker Barrel? When you go there, he's with you. How about Chili's? When you go there, he's there. You know, people are so used to people being rude. My son, Andrew, and I, we went to Denny's to have lunch. And we were sitting there, and it was time to pay the bill. And the waitress came up, and I said, hey, can you take care of this for us? Can I just give you my card? And she goes, yeah. And I looked at her, I said, oh, I got to put the tip on there. And I looked at her, and I said, how much you want? And I was prepared. I didn't care what she said. I was going to give it to her. If she said $5,000, I was going to write it down. Because as I was sitting there, I was thinking in my mind, I carry with me the supply of heaven. And she looked at me, she goes, I don't know. See, that's how unused to that we are. She goes, I don't know. She goes, $6? I go, how much you need? I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Please don't make me answer. So I did. I blessed her. I wrote out a number, put it on there, and she was like, so why did you do that? Not because I want glory. I don't care. Because I want her to know there are people in this earth that live in abundance. I want her to know. You know, do I have it? I'm going to have to figure it out. Don't care. Actually, I don't have to. He already did. I just want people to know. See, when people say, I'm sick, instead of saying, oh, man, that's a bummer. Say, well, here, give me your hand. Let me pray for you. My God heals. Well, what if they don't get healed? What if they do? We just got to believe it. We just got to embrace it. And then what we got to do is we got to start speaking it. The power of God comes in faith-filled words. We declare the power of God. We declare it. So right now, I declare every person in the sound of my voice is filled with the power, resurrection power, in Jesus' name. And then finally, we need to act on it. You need to step out. That's always the fun part. You know, we read the story. We love the story of Peter walking on the water. We don't love living the story of us walking on the water. And we often are very critical of Peter. Because, you know, he got paying attention to the storm and waves and he sunk. Oh, Peter, come on, where's your faith? Well, you get out of the boat. You get out there. I remember years ago, Pastor Pennington, the pastor before me, he preached a sermon. It was called Wet Water Walkers. That was a great sermon. He said, you know what? He walked on the water further than any other human being other than Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, he sunk. But he took a couple steps further than you and I did. And I'm going to tell you something. He enjoyed a moment that you and I can't even fathom yet because we have yet to get out of the boat. You have someone sick in your home? Lay hands on them. You don't have enough in your checkbook? Take your checkbook, lay your hands on it, and speak blessing over it. The favor of God. Most places in the Bible, when it talks about favor, it's talking about money. And you might have to let go a little bit. You might have to let go of a little bit that you have so that you can hang on to a lot more. The reason sometimes God can't give us anything is because we're hanging on to what we got. And he says, if you'll let that go, I'll give you a lot more. Sometimes we just got to act. Someone that's not saved, don't condemn them. Don't walk up to them and say, you know what, you're a demon and you're going to hell. They already know. They already know. You don't have to tell them that. What you do is you walk up to them and say, you know what? God loves you, man. And you don't have to be like this anymore. My God can change you. He can give you life. And life more abundantly. Sometimes we just got to step out and speak it. Can you say amen? And step out and act on it. That's how we activate resurrection power. So what we're going to do at this point is I'm going to step aside, and the worship team's back on stage. And just before we take our communion today, we're going to spend just a little bit of time in worship. Because I believe it's appropriate that before we take this communion, before we receive and remember what Jesus did, that we worship him. Would you do that with me? Let's stand to our feet so we can worship.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God of Moses, the one who opened up the oceans. I need you now to do the same thing for me. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. now. Oh, Rock, oh, Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. I'm calling on the God of Mary, whose favor rests upon the lowly. I know with you all things are possible. I'm calling on the God of David, who made a shepherd boy courageous. I may not face Goliath, but I've got my own giant. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. You heard your children then, you hear your children now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You are providing then, you are providing now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You moved in power then, God move in power now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were a healer then, you are a healer now. You are the same God, you are the same God. You were a savior then, you are a savior now. You are the same God, you are the same God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh Rock, oh Rock of Ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. God, I need you, God, I need you. didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil torn before you, you silenced the bones of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Lord, from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Yes, you are worthy of it all,
my Jesus.
You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Thank you again, Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you, Father, that you raised Jesus from the dead. We thank you that you have invested that power into our lives. God, that you truly have brought us in, God, as your children. God, we no longer have to fear. God, no longer are we held bondage by a spirit of slavery. But God, we are free. God, we are free in you to be the children of God because you died and rose again for us. And we thank you and we give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. Our ushers are getting the communion together right now. They'll be passing the communion out. And as they do, one of the things that you're going to notice is that there are two cups in each other. One has the juice and the other has the bread. And so we ask that you take both cups, hold on to those, and we will instruct you as we go through the communion service. Amen. God is so good. Amen. You know, over the last few years of my life, I was sharing, actually on Friday, at our Good Friday service, I was sharing what God has done in the last probably about 3.5 years, maybe 4 years. I've really gained a value for communion. My wife and I made a decision that we were going to take communion every day together. And that at some point in time in the day, most of the time it's in the evening, but sometimes it'll be in the morning, sometimes in the afternoon, we take a moment, we set it aside so that we could take communion. And over that process of time, we have gained such a value for communion and what it represents. And I've had many people come to me and they say, well, aren't you making it trivial? Aren't you kind of losing? No. Because, you know, I've never, in 37 years of marriage, I talk to my wife every day. Amen. I tell her I love her every day. I give her a kiss goodbye when we go to work and a kiss when we get home and say good evening. And never once has it gotten old or trivial. Because it's the heart. See, it's the heart. When you pay attention and you do what God asks you to do, do this in remembrance of me, then you know what? You could keep it fresh and alive. And you'll find out that it'll grow. And that it will become a place of intimacy for you with the Father, with Jesus, and with Holy Spirit. And this is such a powerful thing. And as we take communion today, I want you to know that this is an absolute privilege to do this. And I do want to talk just for a moment about the things that really were accomplished on the cross and why we're taking this communion, why we take the bread and why we take the cup, because each of those things, each of those elements of communion represents something that Jesus did for us, and we need to pay attention to that. Number one, he paid the price for our healing. Yes. How many know that?
Amen.
He surrendered his body. His body was beaten, wounded, bruised. In some translations of the Bible, in Isaiah 53, it says that he was crushed so that we could be healed. By his stripes upon his back, we were healed. That was the price he paid to secure our freedom from sickness and disease. Can you say amen to that? He removed the stain of sin. His blood removes the stain of sin. Though it be scarlet, it'll be white as snow, with no trace, as if you never sinned. He disarmed its power, and he freed us from its consequences. And he exchanged our nature for his, making us brand new creatures in Christ. He took on our life so that we could take on his righteousness. In his blood, he established and ratified the new covenant, where every promise is authorized. If you hear nothing else and you take nothing away from anything I've said today, take that away. Meditate on that. That by the shedding of his blood, he signed the covenant. He established and ratified the new covenant and gave you a yes on every promise. When you go to him and say, Lord, will you do this? He stands up and says yes. Generally, he shouts yes before you even get there. He made a way for you and I to enter in to the very throne room of God, to lay at his feet our every need, to find grace and mercy in the time of need. And he restored the relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. No longer is there a rift between God the Creator and man, his children.
Amen.
And on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus ate the Passover supper with his disciples. And he took a moment and he began to speak to them. And Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11, gives us an account of that moment, and I want to read that to you. It says, for I received from the Lord, this is verse 23 through 26. He says, for I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's an interesting verse there, that last verse, verse 26. He says, when you do this, you proclaim. It literally means shout with glee.
Amen.
Why? Because that was the price. That was the price. We were in prison, shackled. No way out. No hope. There was a price on our head that no one could pay. But Jesus came in. There was only one check in the checkbook that day, heavenly checkbook. And he wrote the entire bank account of heaven so you could be free. So that's why we shout with glee the Lord's death till he comes. By this one incredible act of love, we who were lost, broken, hopeless, are now safe and secure. So this morning, we're going to take the bread, which is the body of Christ, and we're going to receive all that it represents. And before Jesus served the bread, he prayed. So we're going to pray. So Jesus, we come taking this communion today. We know this bread is your body that was given for us so that we may walk in divine healing and in divine health and divine life. And as we take this bread, we consider the body of Jesus and all that it has accomplished. Your body is the payment for all of our healing, our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual healing. So we say to the spirit of infirmity, these are the words against you. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore we forbid any sickness or disease to come upon our bodies. By the stripes of Jesus, we declare life, health, healing over New Life Church and all that call this church home. We declare healing of all kinds, physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing. And we declare healing to be a fundamental dynamic of our ministry at this place. By the stripes of Jesus, we declare everyone receiving this bread right now is healed in Jesus' name. So according to your word, we receive this bread in remembrance of you. We remember your physical sacrifice and all that you made for us. And we receive all that it provides for us now. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread. Then the Bible tells us that Jesus took the cup and he told the disciples just before he prayed, he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. And then he prayed. So, Father, as we take this communion, we know that this cup is the new covenant in your blood, and that through your shed blood, all your promises are paid for. They are yes and amen. We remember right now your spiritual sacrifice on the cross. And as we receive this cup, we consider the blood of Jesus and make these declarations. We declare the blood of Jesus sets us free and cleanses our hearts and gives us access to Jesus. We declare the blood of Jesus is sufficient for every difficulty, every problem, and every calamity. We declare the blood of Jesus overcomes all the works of the enemy. And we declare the blood of Jesus saves us, redeems us, restores us, and gives us a hope and a future. So according to your word, Lord, we receive this cup in remembrance of you. It is a sign and seal that you've heard our prayer and you are moving in our behalf. And we receive all that this communion provides. And we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why don't you stand with us? We're going to go into one more song of worship.
Day in history, there on a cross they made for sinners, for every curse his blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens eternity. Oh, the King of Life was on the move, yes, we're in a dark, cold tomb where our Lord was laid. One miraculous breath and we're forever changed. Jesus, all hail the Savior. all hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world.
Oh, Father.
Savior of the world.
God, you are the King of Kings, God.
Oh, my Savior.
God, you are our Savior. God, but more importantly, you are our Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we thank you, Father, for what you've done in this place. We thank you for sending your Son, Father. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. You are so good. God, we thank you for the fact that we get to come. We get to celebrate your resurrection. We get to celebrate the fact that we get to be in relationship with you, that we get to have resurrection power, Father. God, let us not take this lightly, Lord. Let us not take it lightly. We know we do not serve a dead Jesus. He is the only one that rose. God, let us leave this place in full understanding every day that our Jesus is alive and well and working in and through our life. If we leave with just that revolutionary understanding, it'll change our life and it'll change the lives of the people around us, Father. Let us be agents of change. Let us be agents of encounter, Father. God, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, that was great. So we got just a couple of things. One, we have our Easter egg hunt going on here in like 15 minutes. So go grab your kids, meet us out at the park. It's split up into age groups, so we're going to start that here probably in about 15, 20 minutes. We're going to grab that. If you're new here, please meet us at our Welcome Center. You guys have a great Easter. You guys have a great week. We will see you next week. We love you guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.